Just invite Jolene. Can we just welcome her? Come. Let her use my mic. It's okay. Okay, ma?
Yeah, please. Next week, my mic. No such problems.
Hello. Hi, everyone. It's a real privilege to be standing here and give testimony for... my good friend, Joey, she has testified. She shared last week about her walk with God and how she came to know God. So Daniel approached me and asked me to, you know, in line with Joey's baptism that's coming up in October, perhaps I can share how Joey has transformed through her journey with after knowing Christ. And so it's really a privilege for me to be here and share about Joey's journey. And Joey has been my dear friend since our secondary school days, which is just about 10 years ago. No, actually more than that. Yeah, so actually we know each other for a really long time, and she's really like a little sister to me. And so Dawn knows how I always look out for her. And then, even though she accepted Christ during her childhood days, but she didn't really get the chance to go to church. So there's one time when we were having over beer outside Ion, and then me and my other friend, Jacqueline, we spoke about going to church. So she got... we were very delighted that she actually showed her enthusiasm, and she really is very keen to join me to go to church, which I'm really surprised, and I'm really glad that it started her journey going to church ever since. Okay, so over years, how I saw the transformation in her, basically she's someone who is very pure at heart, and then I find that her purity towards God is pretty exceptional, I must say. When she pray about something to God, she really committed it into God's hands, and she really faithfully prayed. And at the beginning, when she was a young believer, she didn't really understand how God works. So sometimes when she didn't see the prayer being answered, right, she will kind of like blame God and lamented, and then she will text me and say that, Jolene, if God is really truly love us, why did he allow me to go through this and this, and why didn't he answer my prayers? You know, so she didn't understand back then how God actually worked. And then I would just, of course, I don't have an answer for that, and then I would tell her, okay, I'll pray along with you. And the major change came, like, over the years, she really studied God's words. She attended Bible study, and she came to know God more and more over the years, and she became a mature believer. So after that, when she came across certain things that is, she prayed to God and asked God for help, she understand that God has his own ways of working in a person's life. So instead of, at the beginning, she would blame God, she actually would start to tell me that actually she trusts in God, and she truly knows that God is in control, and she will just wait on God to answer her prayers. So I think that's really very encouraging, and that truly touches my heart a lot. And actually, you know, God has worked so tremendously in her lives. So last week I told her, wow, your testimony was so wonderful. She says, actually, 5 minutes is not enough. I hope that DG can give me more opportunity to share, because God really gave us so many miracles. And and another miracle I need to share is about her family. So previously, she shared with me that it's impossible for her husband, Winston, to come to God, because Winston is kind of like, he doesn't believe in going to church. And initially, when she goes to church, he would just rather loiter around the shopping mall, or, you know, do nothing, and then just refuse to step close to the church. So she told me that it would be a miracle if Winston is to accept Christ one day. So I told her that we just need to pray, you know. God answered so many prayers. I'm sure God will answer this. So a few. So I think God truly softened his heart and worked on his heart, and she kept pursuing and kept asking him to come to church. And one day he really put down his resistance, and he said yes. And then he followed her and the kids to church. And when I was like, okay, maybe he just came to church and then he would just look at his phone or do other things. But I observed him and I saw that he really listen intently to everything about God. And over time, even during cell group, he will participate. And recently, he even shared with the cell that he wanted to know Christ more. He's very keen to know more about God and how he can actually go about doing it. So he's, over time, he really has changed. And recently, when Joey spoke to him about being baptized, so initially, when she approached him, she thought that, okay, maybe he would just be lukewarm about it. But to her surprise, he actually didn't say a word, and then he just filled in the form. And he even said that he wanted to volunteer in the children ministry, and he also offered tithes to the church. So all this transformation in her life is so encouraging. And I think that all these miracles also helped me to be encouraged also as well. Like, God truly is working in our lives, and even though he's at work all the time, even though we may not feel it, we may not see it, but over time, when we see these wonderful things that happen to our friends, we will be truly encouraged, and we will even, all we need to do is just pray and lean on to God. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Joey and Winston, you're here. You're such an encouragement to us. I always tell people when God calls us to start something like this, it's not to take the old farts and put them all together, and Winnie and I, Gun and I, we see each other, and then we just look at all of us, and then there are no new ones coming. The new ones, the new blood that comes and encourages us. So really, when Jolene and Joey, through their whole process of just walking, your friends are the longest time, right? To see you come, and then to your husband to come, and then the kids just so firmly ensconced in the church is a wonderful testimony to us. So welcome for those who are here for the first time as well. We didn't manufacture this, but this is just lives transformed, and I'm really very encouraged as I hear this. And today we have a privilege. We don't really have a full-time band, but today the band is here. I want us to just come and worship the Lord. So can I just encourage you to just come forward? We're going to sing this song, Hosanna. You know, when we sing this song, can I just encourage you to stand up? You sing the song Hosanna. Typically, when you listen to the song Hosanna, Angela, when we say Hosanna, you think about adoration and praise. Hosanna, hallelujah, kind of thing. It's true. But actually, when you look at the word Hosanna, the Greek word, last time when it first started, Hosanna was about asking God to deliver us. Pray and save us. That was what Hosanna was all about. Hosanna, God in the highest. So when you sing this song, of course you should praise and you should just give all adoration to the Lord himself. Yes, there is a place for that. But beyond that, when we first said Hosanna, Hosanna was about coming to God and say, God, save me. Save us. And that's what we need, isn't it? And the people like Joey and Winston, as they come, as we see them praise God and everything, but the first and foremost, they needed to be saved by God. So as Esther leads us together to the band to sing this song, I want you to just come before the Lord, and as we worship Him, just give all adoration and praise to Him. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Even as the musicians begin to play, Lord, release your anointing and just be with us as we commit this service to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I see the King of Glory. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes.
I see His love and mercy.
I see His love and mercy washing over all our sins. The people sing, the people sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
I see a generation.
I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. With selfless faith, I see a new revival stirring up. We pray and seek. We're on our knees. We're on our knees. Hosanna! 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 Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Heal my heart. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my heart to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Holy Spirit, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Lift your hands to the Lord, sing Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things I've seen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Yours, everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from birth into eternity. Lift your hands and your hearts before the Lord as we just come down to this song. Father, Hosanna to the Lord. Hosanna to you in the highest, Lord. Hosanna, pray to you. Save us from our illness, save us from our indifference. So as we come before you, Lord, we sing. Hosanna in the higher. Sing Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Sing one more time, Hosanna. Hosanna in the, sing Hosanna. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the higher. Sing Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the. Ask the Lord to heal our hearts. Bring your hearts before Him. Heal. Heal my heart for what makes yours. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved. love me. Ask the Lord, break my heart, for what breaks yours. Break it in Jesus' name. And break my heart, for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk into this eternity. Father, we commit this service to you. Hosanna to the Lord and highest. I ask you to do a prophetic act. Put your hands upon your heart with no one looking around. Put your hands upon your heart where your heart is. Holy Spirit, do something in the hearts of your people so that, Lord, whatever breaks your heart will be what breaks yours. Everything they have, their children, their finances, their talents, everything for your kingdom's cause. Holy Spirit, do something new so that the people of God will arise. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We pray this. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And just the voices sing Hosanna. One more time, sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we commit this service to you. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. Thank you, Ben. Later, you come up again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Welcome the visitors who are here for the first time. We've been doing the book of Nehemiah. And today, we are on to chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles open, go straight to chapter 6, and I'll take it from there. This is the halftime for the book of Nehemiah. Take it from me. Today, after today, the wall is done. The wall is finished. The wall is completed. So it is about building the walls. The walls are the physical walls. But from chapter 7 onwards, you see the building of the people. The walls of the people need to come down. So in Nehemiah chapters 1 to 5, and today we talk about chapter number 6 itself and a bit of chapter 7. Chapter 6 talks about the completion of the wall. The completion of the wall, and then in chapter 7 and next week, Gan is going to come on board, and then after that, Silas, we're going to talk about chapter 7 and 8, and then we'll take it from there. But take it from me, as you go to chapter 6, I want to just point something to you, and then today we go to our next slides. Can I have the first slide, please? Today, the title of this version of this sermon today is Finishing Well. You need to finish well. You know what? It doesn't really help if you just begin well. A lot of us begin well. When you do something, guys, in your new job, who doesn't begin well? Well, when you go to a new job, do you leave for another job usually with no better benefits or salary? No, you go to another job because you've got a promotion, you've got a salary. But guess what? It is cheap to begin well. But it takes a lot to end well, isn't it? But you end well, and better still, if you now serve your notice. Some people say, oh, I'm going to leave. The gun says, oh, I've been in this place for 12 years, so I'm going to leave. The tendency is for us not to finish well. Isn't it very human? Those who do national service, you want me to take the mic or don't use the mic?
Thank you.
Check 1, 2. The tendency, thank you so much. This one is for singing, this one's for talking. I got another mic for something else. The tendency is for us to not finish well. How many do national service? Hand to heart. Last month, do you really just feel like, wow, can't wait to go university, can't wait to eat char kway teow every day, don't wait to book in, book out? The tendency is for us not to finish well. But today, I want to talk about finishing well, and the impetus for us to finish well. You must understand something. The devil does not want you to finish well. It is very clear. Opposition comes in different degrees and in different ways, but The devil just wants you to not finish well. Look with me to chapter 6, and today I just want to talk about chapter 6. And if you go to the first slide, as you go to the first slide, I want to say to you, the next slide, please, Leon, expect opposition even when you're almost done. Today in chapter 6, guys, it is already a situation whereby the wall has been rebuilt. Look at me with chapter 6, verse 1. When the word came to Sambalat, Tobiah, Gesham, the Arabs, and the rest of our enemies, the whole court of enemies, the people that are against God, they know that the word came to them that I had rebuilt the wall. Question, has the wall been done? The wall is done, Sharon. Done, finish. The wall is done. You think that you're almost there at the throes of completion. You're almost there. Here it says, the walls that I have rebuilt, the wall and not a gap was left in it. Though up to this time, I still had not been shown the doors in the gate. Sanballat and Geshem, send me this message. Come, let me meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. These are the people who, before that, in the chapters 1 to 5, we're talking about them, always ridiculing, always smoking, after that, threatening violence. And now they say, hey, guys, come, I tell you what, Nehemiah, why don't you do this? Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. What was the response of Nehemiah? Nehemiah says, but they were scheming to harm me. So I sent these messengers to them with this reply. I'm carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? I've got something to tell you. When you're almost there, that's where you need to be very careful. When you're almost there, when you're at the throes of victory, when you think it's going to be won. How many of us play football? How many of us play basketball? How many of us watch all this Champions League game? At the 94th minute, someone scores and the whole game changes. You play until you finish. You don't slack at the 90th minute. Some teams are just so good at scoring goals in the last 5 to 10 minutes because it becomes mental. Why? Because your legs are tired. Because at that time, you actually feel like, I've done enough. I've already done all I could. I got no more strength left. I just want to finish the game. But if you don't watch it, you don't finish well. So the plot of the enemy is they are now going to psychological warfare. They say, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of. What's the village name, Malcolm? The village name is called Ono. My goodness, the place is called Ono. What kind of stupid village name is that? If I tell you, Phyllis, come meet me this place, the place is called Ono. You better don't come. The name itself is terrible. Ono. What's your son's name? Ono. Why would you want to go to a place like that? It is psychological warfare. They are telling you that they want to meet you. But why would they want to meet you when the walls are up, the gates only left the door that's not open? They were scheming to harm me. So Nehemiah was very clear, he would not go down. Verse 4, four times they sent me the same message and each time I gave the same answer, no, 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 no. Next slide, please. Listen, the walls may be up, but the doors are open. Isn't that ironic? You have all the walls done. All the walls done. But the door is not done. And maybe sometimes we also have to watch our lives. At the throes of victory, at the cross completion, everything is done. The walls, everything, sui sui, pa 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 pa, everything done. But the door is open. Someone can just walk in. Isn't it? So when we watch ourselves as we got people who are going to get baptized, the walls are open. Guys, baptism is only the first step. Can I just suggest to you, go and read Acts 7. Is it the Simon, the guy who was even baptized, who probably said all the right things, but just because you believe in God, you come to church and you get baptized, can I suggest to you something? That does not mean a thing if you don't finish the task, if you don't finish well, if you don't, at the end of the day, when you come before God during Judgment Day, you want God to say to God and Ivy, well done, good and faithful servant. The fifth time, he comes. Because four times they can't make it, the fifth time, Sambala sends his aide to me with the same message, and his hand was an unsealed letter. And this letter says, it reported among the nations that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you're building a wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king. This thing here is a threat. So now I tell you to come and meet me. Go, come to this village. Oh no, very nice. Go and meet us and everything. You don't want to come, but now I'm going to change tactic and I'm going to now tell you, if you don't come, I tell you what, I'm going to tell the rest of the people that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt and therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king. Verse 7, and have appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. For those of you who have not been following us in this series and here for the first time, and for those who have not met it, have not heard this part as well, just remember something. This thing about him rebelling against the king is not new. In verse 5, in chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "You are about to become the king," in verse 6. That sounds eerily familiar to what was stated earlier before in Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 19. And the same people were there. Sambala the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Gisham the Arab heard about it. They mocked and ridiculed us. "What is it you are doing?" At the time, they're still building a wall. They asked, "Are you rebelling against the king?" And sometimes when people try to tempt us, you remember, isn't that something you told me before? This is not something new. I have a slide. You just go further down. Sieve through the lies. Go down a few slides. Some more. Stop there. Sieve through the lies and see the pattern. So at the fifth attempt, they now say, "I'm going to send this letter. I'm going to suggest that you're revolting. You are going to make yourself the king. You are rebelling against the king. It is the king who sent him to go there and rebuild the wall, right?" So now he says, "You're rebelling the king." Guess what? This is something that he did in Nehemiah 2:19 already. Guys, the constant battle is not with fellow human beings. The Bible says that we are fighting not with flesh and blood, but it's the evil one that's always wanting to do something, always trying to sidetrack us, always distracting us. And if I were the devil, I would not come with a sledgehammer. If I come with a sledgehammer and I want to whack you, you will retaliate. So sometimes I do subliminal things, I do psychological things to make it easier for you, to make it sound like, it's nothing, it's just a dinner, why don't you come? But guess what? The devil will try all kinds of patterns to come and make it such that you will fall for his trap. If you scroll back up to where I just left off, two slides backwards again, if you go back, guard against complacency. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." If you think you're standing firm presupposes that you are complacent, you think you're almost there. If you think you're standing firm, so maybe Sharon, you think that, "Hey, I'm okay, I'm really standing firm." That's where you need to be very careful. If you're standing firm, the Word of God says, be careful that you don't fall. So I want to suggest to you, when we come to the end of something, don't even talk about the end of our life. Sometimes our life is in stages and projects, right? So the project Nehemiah has is to, he was mandated by God to build a wall. So he has to be very careful. Guard against complacency. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's the Word of God. If you don't watch it, you will fall. Next slide. The invitations I said ready to meet, they were at a convenient time at a village called Ono, what a name. It is, the walls are up. "Why don't you come? It's okay, hey, chill a bit lah, Sharon. Done already, what? Your everything done already. Your son now in university already. Let's go lah. Let's do this together. Owen, come lah. Everything done, sweet, sweet already. Waiting for what? Come." But it is in those times when you're almost there that you need to watch yourself. That's a warning even to myself. Wasn't that what happened to David, King David? When did he have that Beor the Bathsheba up in his penthouse up there looking down? When he was doing very well, when he was victorious, when everything was fine, that's when he was tempted. Even think about Jesus. When was Jesus tempted? When he was about to start the ministry, the devil sends him to the desert, in the desert, try to tempt him. When are you tempted? When you are doing well. David was tempted when he was at the top of the game. He was doing so well, he didn't even have to fight. That's the problem. So I always tell people, don't retire. When you retire, your brain rots. I've seen so many people. Once they retire, immediately go down south. The brain doesn't work anymore. Why do you retire? Because you got nothing to do. Why you got nothing to do? Because you feel succeeded. Why do you want to retire? Because maybe to some extent, sometimes there's also some complacency. I hope we don't retire. I hope that when we work, if Silas and I now have to still work, I hope it's not because we need to work for monies. Which of course, we would like to have some monies. But we work because we want to still gainfully use the brain, exercise the brain, don't retire, and do work, do good, and do whatever breaks the heart of God as we sang, so that it is for the kingdom's cause. So can I suggest to you, guard against complacency. It is always the case whereby you expect opposition even when you're almost done. Extra time at the death, those are the things that will happen to you if you don't watch it. There's the fear of God, there's also the fear of man. I want to go to the next slide, if Leon can just go through, skip a few, go down. Fear of God and the fear of man. I want to tell you here, there's the juxtaposition and the need to talk about there's the fear of God and there's the fear of man. Let me just go down to verse 8. So the threat from the guys, the traditional enemies, are now at Nehemiah. In chapter 6, we saw the four attempts asking him to go down. They don't go down. The fifth time, they send a letter to threaten him and tell him, if you don't come, I tell you what, I'm going to tell the whole world. I'm going to go to social media. I'm going to go Facebook, Instagram, what have you, TikTok, and tell the people that you want to become king in Judah. In verse 8, what does Nehemiah say? Nothing like what you say is happening. You are just making it off your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking the hands will get too weak. The hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But what do? They are threatening to destabilize Nehemiah. Can I suggest to you that when you look even at the words here, they are all trying to frighten us, verse 9, the hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But Nehemiah prayed, now strengthen my hands. I got a question for you. Do you think Nehemiah was frightened? Or do you think they say, it's nothing, water off the duck's back, all this nonsense, Sambala, Tobiah, even the names are horrible. They are nothing to me. Question, in this how many days? It took 52 days for the walls to be rebuilt. Question, along the way, when people keep poking you and talking to you, ridiculing you, would you be affected? Tell me otherwise, you're not human. Some people, one talk, this Joey like that, enough already. Or some will come to me and say, Daniel, this kiam kana, or don't know why, every time he come, wear all this kind of shirt and pants and shoe, lao hiao. Don't you get affected? Why Gun, when he come and talk the time, he takes so long. Daniel finish at 5:55. Whenever Gun talks, 6:25, every time I go back late. We all get affected. And Nehemiah is no different. Here he is affected, but what is his response? He prays to God, now strengthen my hands. Nehemiah is like Lee Kuan Yew. I've been reading this book. I tell you, I keep reading books now. I read this book, Leadership, Henry Kissinger, 2022. He talks about Lee Kuan Yew. Lee Kuan Yew doesn't make small talk. Lee Kuan Yew got no time for small talk. Lee Kuan Yew talk every time is just something done, something done. Actually, Winnie, I feel like I'm a bit like Lee Kuan Yew. I got no time for small talk. It's like, even in my small talk got function. It's like, well, you want to achieve something, but I'll keep telling myself, in building relationship, you need to talk to people. I understand all that. But sometimes we are all so geared up, just want to get things done. Nehemiah is the same. He just wants to get things done. But along the way, he will be frightened. I suggest to you that he was also a bit scared, which is why he need to pray to God, now strengthen my hands. If you look at Nehemiah, I think in this book of Nehemiah chapters, all chapters, he's got about 13 prayers, some short, some long. Remember in chapter 1, when we first started, it was a long prayer, right? But he also had short prayers. And there was a week last week, did we not talk about it? He had a really short prayer in verse chapter 5, verse 19. It says, remember me with favor, my God, for all I've done for these people. Short, succinct prayers. And when people try to ridicule him and make it difficult for him, what does he do? God, now strengthen my hands. Now strengthen my hand. Short, effective prayer. And that helps him. And when we are all working in the marketplace, do you have time? Maybe Winnie's in the midst of a meeting now, very scared, or whatever meeting, not going away. Can you all wait for a while? Let me go and pray. And then Winnie prays for 2 hours. No, you don't have the luxury. What do you do? Pray on the spot. God, help me. Effective coming to God, and God will help us. Are we okay with that? God is a God. You don't need to pray. I mean, if you have time, in your please, I'm therefore not suggesting, please don't say, Daniel, therefore say short prayers. Every time you need to spend quiet time, very short, very time, very quiet time, very quiet. No, you need to also spend time talking to God. But at times, you just have time for that short prayer. God, now strengthen my hands. And that's exactly what he did. That's the fear of man. But guess what? Juxtaposed against that, there's also the fear of God. Let me now show you in verse 10. You have opposition from the outside. Those people like, what are the names? Sambalat, Tobiah, Gersham, the Arabs. These are your external oppositions. But opposition from the devil comes anywhere and everywhere. The devil will use anything.
If he can't get you this way, subtle psychological cannot. If not, I threaten to report you to the police, report and say that you are trying to usurp the king. I will do all ways and means. In chapter 6, verse 10, you see another way of trying to get to you. Verse 10, one day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in his house. He said to me, let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple. Let us close the temple doors. You know why? Because people are coming to kill you. By night, they're coming to kill you. Question, this person, Shemaiah, who is this person? This person, is it a friend or a foe? It is a friend. It is from within. It is your circle. It's your fellow Jew. It is someone you're supposed to trust. So this guy tells you, hey, I tell you what, you better come and meet in the house of God inside the temple, and we better close the temple doors. You know why? People are coming to kill you by night. They're coming to kill you. Can you imagine if Malcolm comes to me, Malcolm calls me, Malcolm, Daniel, calls me at 2 a.m. Daniel, you better watch it at 3 a.m. Better shut the door. You know why? Someone's coming to kill you. What will you do? You hide, right? First point. Is Nehemiah allowed into the temple? I tell you now, the answer is no, because he's not a priest. He is not allowed into the temple. So the next thing I want to tell you is this. There's the fear of man and there's the fear of God, right? Fear of man will be those people who keep ridiculing you, or even the fear of man now, because there's a fear of man here. They say they're going to kill you. I am telling you now, they are going to kill you, Cindy. You better go and hide. But guess what? In hiding, you're going to go to God's temple and you are not a priest. You're not allowed in there. Are you seeing that struggle here? The fear of man and the fear of God. The fear of God, I put fork so that you remember. Fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of man traps us. The fear of man ensnares us. That's a nice word. Ensnare, trap you. So what's it going to be? The fear of God or the fear of man? The fear of God, F-O-G. God, guess what? F-O-G, ironically, is fork. Winnie was just telling me, some people after COVID, they have brain fork. You can't think clearly. Who's got COVID before? Do you find that after COVID, maybe some things he don't remember? Malcolm used to be a Liverpool supporter. After COVID, he's now a Manchester United supporter. Got brain fog. But now the fog has cleared, therefore back to Liverpool. Brain fog. Fog is something that comes and clutter your mind. But not so the people of God. You have the fear of God. You don't have fog. As opposed to the fear of man. So what is it going to be? If I were Nehemiah, you know what I'm going to do? Who will run to the temple and hide? Honestly, come. Who will run to the temple and hide? Well, nobody. Who will not run to the temple? Not run. Wow, brave. Who will just stay there to be killed? You will do something, right, when someone trusted come to you. Is it not? But you have the word of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So what did he do? This is response in 11. But I said, should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go to the temple to save his life? What's his decision? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sambalat had hired him. This guy was bought. He's Judas. He was bought. He was bribed. He is sold out. Judas was 30, whatever the currency. This guy was bought. I don't know what they paid him. He was bribed. He was doing the biddings of Tobiah and Sambalat. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. And then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Fear of man or fear of God? What's it going to be? Then you better ask yourself, so how do I know whether when Malcolm calls me at 2 a.m., he says, you better watch it at 3 a.m., someone's going to kill, whether that is the gospel truth or it's just Malcolm was bought by someone because he's got brain fog. What is it? What are some of the telltale signs? Next slide. Know him, know him. I put know him, capital H, that him is God, okay? Know him, the small h, is the devil. All of us should know God, right? But some of us don't know the devil. You should know your enemy. You should know how he operates. You should know these are the little slimy things that he does. I want to tell you some verses you want to look at so that you know how to deal with this fella. His name is Satan. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. That's his character. That's who he is. Be alert and of sober mind. Not the devil, but yourself. Be alert and of sober mind. Be careful, but be very alert. Be hyper-vigilant. Your mind must be sober. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. That's his character. He prowls around. He's just waiting. Question, is he the lion? He's not. Is he the lion, Judah? He's not. He is like the lion. He will intimidate. He will try to make things difficult for you. He will try to send messages to you to discredit you. He will make things difficult for you. He will discourage you. That's the devil. Next slide. Know him, know him. For such people, next slide, please, thank you. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, 2 Corinthians 11, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself also masquerades as angel like. Just now I showed you 1 Peter 5:8, that's the devil's character. Here, the devil's methods. Who does the devil use? The devil use what? False prophets, deceitful workers. Here, whatever the name of this guy, Shemaiah. Is he a false prophet? He is. He's here, that's been bought. He's here to say something that is not true. So what does the devil use? The devil uses people. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading. Masquerading already tell you something. They are not the real deal. They are not the real McCoy. They are the bullshit fellas. They are here masquerading as apostles of Christ. And why? No wonder lah. Because Satan himself also masquerades as angel-like. So be careful, the devil. His methods, his scheming ways, he is Satan himself, evil personified. The other thing I want to tell you to do is, next slide please, Leon, guard your reputation. It's interesting, isn't it? In verse 6:13 also, he says here, he had been hired, meaning that Shemaiah guy to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. Doing what? Running into the temple, right? And by doing this, they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Can you imagine if he had picture me, yeah? So Nehemiah runs to the temple, and because it's a fake, he's not going to get killed, right? Correct? That means he didn't die, no? If he ran to the temple and he didn't die, I tell you what, he may have wished that he had died. Because once he comes out of the temple, people will say, wow, this Silas, bloody coward, no? He ran inside the thing when actually he's supposed to work with us, but he ran inside to protect his life, and then he didn't die, he come out. Question, how's his reputation? It's gone. Tatters. So can I appeal to all of us, watch what we do because your reputation is at stake. 13, if he had done it, they would give me a bad name to discredit me. So if Nehemiah comes out of the temple unscathed, so what would they do? The next attack would have been what? See? The guy you say is supposed to lead you to build the wall, right? He ran in, you know? But I tell you what, you know why he ran in? Because I bribed the fella to make him run in and he didn't die. Guess what? He's not supposed to be trusted. He's not trustworthy. He's not reliable. He is not someone you want to lead you. Isn't it true? So I'm saying, if he didn't get killed, he really may have thought it's better for me to die. Isn't it? Our reputation, our word is gold. Our people in the marketplace, if TG says something in the company, is it something? If Nyap says something to the team, is it done? If Jolene says something, is it done? If Joey says, I'll pray for you. You know, some people just say, I'll pray for you, but nothing happens. Not nothing happens, but they don't pray for you. Have you met people in the streets and then, hey, how are you? How are you? 10 years ago, oh, Nyap, how are you? Oh, maybe Nyap, I have a primary school friend. Oh, we're all from Chongqing Primary School. Or, how are you doing? How are you doing? Oh, catch up. Give me a card. I'll call you. Do they call you? Never. All talk only. What's our reputation? When we say we'll do something, when I say I'll pray for someone, I always tell people. When I say I will, I am very, very mindful that when I say I'll pray for someone, I will. Have you got people who say, very busy, and then a gun will say, sorry, I'm in a meeting now, I'll call you back. Then you never call back. Sickening, right? Have you got people like that? What's your reputation in the marketplace? Hey, cheer. Is it someone, are you someone that someone who can be trusted? That someone who, when you call on, will do whatever is required?
the person whose reputation is intact, the person who God can use. Guard your reputation. And you have thought that after the walls are completed and after he didn't run into a temple, everything is okay, and then you think, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? Guess what? The opposition continues. Flip to the next page, at least in my Bible. You go to the next page. Remember Tobiah and Sambalat, verse 14, my God, because of what they have done, remember also the prophet Nodiah and how she and the rest of their prophets have been trying to intimidate me. The false prophets, the people, these are the devil's methods, right? The false prophets, the deceitful workers, the people that have been sent to intimidate. But guess what? The war was completed finally on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. Nehemiah prayed 120 days. He finished the wall in 52 days. Guys, sometimes we work too hard. Don't get me wrong. We spend more time working and less time praying. The statistics here tell you, you pray more, you work less. I subscribe to that because sometimes I got so much work to do. I pray for something, and then when I pray for something, sometimes something unclutters. Either the brain thinks properly or the opposing lawyer says, okay, I'm with you on this one, let's clarify the issue. Then I do talk to the client, and then the client used to be unreasonable, but when I pray, something happens, the client becomes less unreasonable and something good happens. Do we pray enough? Sometimes we just keep working. Nothing wrong with working, but when you keep working, you guess what? What you're going to do is, if you keep on working, I want to introduce this word to you. You are striving. You are working hard, but you are striving. You are not working in a spirit of restlessness. You are just doing, but actually you know you're very tired. Do you not know that sometimes when you keep working, you're getting into negative utility economics? You're not really productive. You're not fresh. Why do you take a step back, rest well, and go before God and pray, and then the next day start again? And then when you do that, trust God, and I've seen it so many times, God will come through. Sometimes I'm just so tempted to just say, I want to finish this something, but I'm so tired, I'm not spend time with God. Why don't you take a break, take a rain check, which is actually not what you want to do as a human being, right? You say, I want to finish tomorrow, 7 a.m., I want to finish. Take a brain check, purposely jam break, and say, jam break, I will spend time with God. And when you spend time with God, God honors you, and something unclutters in your mind. Something happens, something good happens, some email comes in to help you, or your colleague who's helping you sends you something to make the job easier. So I want to suggest to you that in 52 days, Nehemiah finished it. He prayed for 120 days. Verse 16, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid. They lost their self-confidence. So finally, the enemies heard about this. All the surrounding nations were afraid. They lost their self-confidence. And I like this. Listen to this, guys. Verse 16, second half. Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Isn't that the best part? The best part is the people, the enemies saw that Nehemiah and gang would not have been able to finish the war in 52 days. The only way they could have done it is when they know that the people 100% did their part. 100% men, I said it a few weeks ago, but 100% God. God came through for them, which is why the people could see and they realized that this work. And this is not even their own people. These are the enemies, mind you. The enemies realized and they lost their self-confidence, the enemies. Why? Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. And you have thought this is the finish of things. I want to say to you, when you finish well, the opposition also goes all the way to the end with you. Verse 17, in those days, Tobiah, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah keep coming to them. Many in Judah were under oath to him. He was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Arah. His son Jehohanan had married the daughter, blah, blah, blah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds, and then telling me what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. I want to give some context to Tobiah. Who is Tobiah? Tobiah is the enemy. Tobiah is a Jewish name, but he was an Ammonite. Tobiah is a Jewish name, but he's an Ammonite. Ammonite is the enemy. He's from a nation that was one traditional enemies was Israel. His name, actually, the enemy, his name Tobiah means Yahweh is good. He's probably an adopted Jewish name. Nehemiah 13:4, which we'll talk about next time, he was closely associated with the high priest. Tobiah became a favorite among the priests. Foreigners who did not share the faith of Israel had successfully infiltrated the Jewish community through intermarriage.
and other alliances and became a thorn in the flesh of Israel. Tobiah had some influence, and even after the war is completed, can still send letters and he can still intimidate Nehemiah. You know why? Because Tobiah married into the Jews. Intermarriage. And therefore, I also think, as a matter of extrapolation, do we want to encourage any of us who are thinking of marriage to marry someone from the outside? The intermarriage caused the stir. That's the enemy. I'm not saying that whoever outside, they're bad people. But please, I'm not saying that. But intermarriage caused the problem. Are you with me? Tobiah is not Jew. He's an Ammonite. He's adopted. He's the one who infiltrated. He was a favorite among the priests. That's the best part. The priests, now you wonder, why the priests all gonna bribe by him? Because he was a favorite of the priest. And guess what? He's not even the inside job. He's the outside people who managed to come in. That's the problem. That's the problem with intermarriage. That's the problem when we are dealing with people who are not with us. Am I making sense to you? That's the problem with intermarriage. And I end with this. After the walls have been rebuilt in chapter 7, the doors were set in place, the people were appointed, the gatekeepers, the magicians, and the Levites. Listen to chapter 7, verse 4. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the Setidal. Why? Because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. If you hug your minds all the way back, Hanani, is the brother of Nehemiah. He was the one in chapter 1 who had come to tell Nehemiah, who had visited Nehemiah in Susa, the winter capital of Persia. And when Nehemiah asked him, how is Jerusalem doing? He was the one who told him, not so good news, not doing very well. This is the guy who Nehemiah trusted. He put him in charge of Jerusalem, my brother Hanani. Why? A man of integrity, he feared God more than most people do. The fear of men versus the fear of God. Who do you want to work with? People who come into intermarriage, or do you want to work with people who fear God? I work with people who fear God anytime. Anytime. When I hire lawyers, I don't hire the brightest. Because the brightest are sometimes after a while, they will jiao. Right? I'm not saying hire the stupidest, but I hire people based on their attributes. I tell you, when I hire people, I don't know about you guys. First thing I'll do is I find out what they like to do. I like people who play games. I like team players. I like to hire people who play football. I mean, like me. Whether they support Man U or Liverpool, doesn't matter. I hire people who like to play games, who are part of a team. I hire people who don't only study. I like people who, if they're not a believer, doesn't matter to me. But if they're a believer, I want to probe a bit further. But I hire people who's got the right attitude. I hire people and look at them. I want to find out whether they've got integrity, whether they're people who are honest. I don't need the brightest. I only need people with integrity. People who, when they make a mistake, they own up. People who are not perfect, but people who are prepared to come before God and say, God, will you strengthen my hands? Remember me with favor in whatever I do. Today I'm rushing like a train because we want to worship God, not that we don't worship God other days. Finishing well, a side note. When we finish well, it's to complete a race, right? But as a side note, and I thought this is a very touching thing that I know about, and me being a sports person, I always like to listen to sports news and whatever. There's something about finishing well, but along the way when we finish well, you got to imagine in the 52 days that Nehemiah did the wall, were there people he needed to help? The Bible doesn't say. But would there be people who were struggling? You probably had a hint of that in chapter 5, right? Some of the Jews felt that they were in slavery because the richer Jews were charging them interest and we had a problem. Silas and Winnie were not here last week. We talked about in chapter 5 how the Jews were crying out because the other Jews, after they were out of the slavery for Gentiles, were charging the poorer Jews, and the poorer Jews, the daughters, were in slavery. Along the way, when we do a job, when we finish well, are there people, are there things we need to do well so that along the way, we make friends, we make life better for people, we finish well, but along the way, we touch lives. Tour de France 2022. There were two riders who were fighting for the top. I'm not a cyclist fan, but some of you may know. Formula One, maybe Wing will know, but Tour de France, I'm not so sure. Tour de France is a cycling event, stretches over 21 days. this year it started in, I think, 1st of July, ended on the 21st. On the 21st July, you'll be going down to Paris, Winnie's, Karen's kind of favorite place, Champs Elysees or whatever place, you know, the fashionable place, that's where they end. In 21 days, you have 21 stages, you have flat surface, you have mountains, you have hills, you also have speed trials. You know how much distance you cover in 21 days? Make a wild guess, 3,349 kilometers. And Royston was running 100 miles. I want to report to you, Royston is always like our newsworthy. Royston wanted to run the 100 miles side. At the 64 click, he gave up. Because what happened to him? Leg got problem. His quads gave problem. But I told him, maybe Don, Royston did this 100 miles. He didn't finish. But I said to him, brother, this will be the one you remember the most. I'm sure he will learn the lesson. It's not whether it's not a failure just because he didn't finish. But he finished well, as in he gave his best shot. It just so happened that he was injured. I look forward to him coming back. I'm sure he'll go for it another time. But this is the one you remember. Even if he finishes the 100 miles next time, sometimes it's in our failures to remember things, right? But back to this, Tour de France 2022. So the two people, the defending champion was this guy called Tadej Pogačar, a Slovenian, 21-year-old. He won the last two editions. So in this 21 stage, there are many stages, and the two of them, they were fighting tooth and nail. The person is Tadej Pogačar, and the other one is Jonas Vingegaard. Jonas Vingegaard was the eventual champion. There was this stage, I think stage 6 or 7, whereby they're coming down the slope. I saw the video. I can't play the video because it's copyright. Video coming, I remember the video, they both go cycling down, and as they were cycling down, they're both neck and neck. And guess what? Tadej Pogačar lost his balance. As he lost his balance, his bike boang, and then he fell to the side. And Vingegaard was seen to be just going on. That's what the YouTube shows. But the truth of the story is, after that, when he fell, right, he went down. You know what he did? Vingegaard waited for Pogačar at the base to let him catch up. Hey guys, you're fighting Tour de France. Tour de France is like the Grand Slam of tennis. This is the event for cycling. If he had left him alone, no one can say anything, right? You fall yourself, right? Sharon, I didn't touch you, you fall. Why should I need to wait for you? But he did. He waited for him, and at the end of it, they both went together again, and then they went off. That picture here shows them when the Pogačar, who is on the right side, came alongside him. I thought it was so sweet. They did a fist bump and they carried on. At the end of the day, who won? The eventual winner is the guy on the left. The guy who gave up that precious few seconds and waited for him to come. I thought that was what a wonderful story, even as I bring this service to a close. When we finish a race, along the way, can we also exercise some sportsmanship? Can we be graceful? Do we have to, in finishing well, try to make sure we kill all our enemies? Don't have to, right? Exercise grace. But what a wonderful way to end. The bottom right picture shows the three of them. And in cycling, you usually don't do in teams. You have a team. Like, for example, the US Postal Team. And this one is, I can't remember the name. I can't even see the picture now. They've got some name for this team that Vingegaard was in. And as he finished the finishing race, he went to the finishing line. He was with all his team members. Although he's the individual champion, he won the Tour de France. The 2022 history will show that Vingegaard won the Tour de France. But the history also show that he waited for his immediate rival, the one who was fighting with him, the one who lost his balance. He waited for him, and then they raced on, and he won. But at the finishing line, he was with his team giving credit. Did Nehemiah build the wall by himself? No. He built it with a team. He was never going to be able to do it himself. But as a team, everything can be done. I thought that was a wonderful testimony, even as we come before you. And I end with this. The other person we want to know who ended well, who else finished well? Jesus. Did Jesus not finish well? In John 19:30, and I want to just tell you to go to the slide. In John 19:30, he says there, it is finished. The Greek word is tetelestai. I should pick up Greek and learn how to pronounce it. Tetelestai. It says to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. But note, this Greek word is a perfect tense. It means it was finished in the past. When Jesus said it is finished in John 19:30, it was finished in the past, it is still finished in the present, it will be remain finished in the future. Isn't that why we come to church? Isn't that why we're in the family of God? It's not only finished in the past. In the finished past, what does it mean in the future? It's not only finished in the present, it's still the future. If it's only in the future, what's happening in the present? No, it is the past the present and the future. That's why you should get baptized, isn't it? It's a God that was in the past, the God of the present now with us, and the God of the future. As we finish well, remember Jesus himself. He finished well, which is why we have eternal life. So as I bring this to a close, this is chapter 1 to 6 of Nehemiah. It talks about the completion of the wall. Next, from chapter 7 onwards, it will move towards the people. No point building a wall, guys. No point building a house if the house is not a home. No point building a nice city, but the inhabitants don't come in and the lives of these people don't change. Isn't that true? That's what church is all about as we come before the Lord. I'm going to invite the worship team to just come forward. Let's come and worship the Lord. I remember I said just now, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, as we sing, is to praise Him, right? Yes, we praise God. But it is the original word Hosanna. It talks about praying to Him, asking God to save us. And He did. He finished well. He finished it so that in the past, in the present, and in the future, even after we have gone, if He doesn't come back again, He's there for us. He's finished the job. Let us come before the Lord.
Check one. Let's prepare our hearts as we come before the Lord. Just talking to Ian, my good friend, who's the bass. He's teaching in LaSalle. He's one of those art teachers. You look at his hairstyle, you can tell he's an artist. He says in 2024, his school will have a new module. You know the name of the module? It's called the Agora. For those who are new, do you know what we call the church Agora? Not because you are Gogo or because my surname Go. Agora stands for the marketplace, the public sphere. Isn't it what we come to church about? The Agora, the place whereby something happens. If we learn about people like Nehemiah, Nehemiah is like the perfect Christian. He's someone that trusted God. He did God's work. But I want to encourage you, he also had, we talked about it, he also feared. He had moments of fear. But it was in that time when he feared, he kept coming back to God, he prayed to God, God helped him. God was with him. So even as the worship team gets ready, just come before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, bless them. Even as we come to the end of the first half of the book of Nehemiah, as they hear about the building of the walls, I pray, O God, that they learn lessons that come from knowing God. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we open our lives to you. Do what you can in our lives. Okay. Amen. Okay. Amen, Jesus. Lift your hands before the Lord, sing Hosanna.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart.
Who's in the
Lift our hands before the Lord. Lord, you're a consuming fire. as Karen begins to still play, will you in your heart lift him up? You know, when you lift Jesus up, people don't see you. People see Jesus. Isn't that good? So I urge you, lift him up. Lift him up in your job. Lift him up so that you'll be like Nehemiah. Whatever you do, even if you fear men, the fear of God brings you wisdom, will allow you to flee from the fear of men, which will trap you. So Holy Spirit, come. All-consuming fire, just come. Bless your people this evening. You're my heart's desire. Sing to the Lord.
You're my heart's desire, and I love you dearly, dearly, Lord.
You're my meditation
and my consolation. And I love you dearly, dearly, Lord.
Sing glory,
glory to the Lamb.
I exalt the great I am, exalt the Lord Jesus.
I exalt.
And you sing glory to the Lamb,
and I exalt the great I am.
You're reigning on your glory. Glory to the Lord Jesus. Sing glory to the Lamb,
and I exalt the great I am.
Your
as
the musicians continue to play Reigning, Lord Jesus, can I just invite you to raise your hands as you bring this end to the service. Father, thank you. I pray for you that you remember that the eternal throne of God awaits for you. You will meet Him face to face. But in the life of struggles and challenges, may the Lord give you wisdom. May the Lord give you courage. May the Lord give you identity in Him, so that as you do the work of the kingdom, as you become the Nehemiah of the marketplace, may you rise up in faith. May you do things that bring glory to Him. So Holy Spirit, all the hands, Father, I pray for them what Nehemiah prayed. Now in Jesus' name, strengthen the hands so that, Lord, these hands will do the work of the kingdom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. I pray for you, the fear of God against the fear of man. The Lord bless you. The Lord's face shine upon you so that as you go back to the marketplace, you will shine for Him. We pray all this through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. We'll see you next week. God bless you.